How's everybody this morning?
Lovely.
Oh, that was weak. Come on, let me hear you. If you're glad to be in God's house, somebody make some noise. There we go. That's better. That's better. All right, week number two in the gym. It's not normal yet, but it's better than what we were doing before. So glad to see faces, glad to be together, and glad that you're here. Glad you chose to worship at Pine Grove Baptist Church this morning. I want to welcome anybody that's watching on Facebook. Thank y'all for tuning in as well. I want to begin this morning with prayer. And I just want to say, just briefly want to address what's going on in the country right now. And I left my Bible over here. Thankfully, it doesn't seem to be any problems right now in Alabama that I'm aware of, but in many different areas of our nation, there's a lot of unrest and, you know, a lot of theories about what's driving that unrest, a lot of opinions on why it's happening. I'm not worried about any of those things. What I'm worried about is the way that the church responds, because we can't control anything outside of ourselves, right? We can't control other people. We can only control how we as the body of Christ respond to things that are going on. And so so often, I realize this about myself, maybe you can relate to this. I don't know how it was in previous generations, but it seems like we're at a point now where when we disagree with someone, instead of it just being a disagreement, now it's we're in different camps and we become enemies. We can't lovingly agree to disagree. All of a sudden it's I'm for this and you're against that, and so we're enemies. And whether that's religious differences, political differences, you know, any kind of differences, that seems to be, I can see that in my own heart. If I have a disagreement with someone, all of a sudden I kind of feel this angst against them. And it's like I lose sight of the fact, hey, that this person, even though I don't agree with them, is an image bearer of God. They're made in the image of God. And so the Lord brought a verse to my mind thinking about these making enemies out of people we disagree with. Ephesians chapter 6. This is going to be a very familiar verse. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." I want us all to think about that for a second. When we disagree with somebody and we decide that we're against that person, we're missing the point of Ephesians 6:12. There's more going on than just people disagreeing. There are spiritual forces at war. There's an unseen spiritual realm. There's spiritual forces at war. And here Paul writes in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against people. We're wrestling against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so we've got to get back, and the church needs to lead the way on this. We've got to see other people, even when we disagree with them, we've got to see them as image bearers. They're made in the image of God. We are called, our highest calling is to love God and love people, right? And so I pray that our response to the things that are going on will be, first and foremost, to pray, to take this to the Lord persistently. And just come to him over and over and pray for healing, pray for peace, pray for, the devil wants to stir up division. We want to pray for understanding and calm and peace and for people to listen. And in every issue, people may not come to an agreement, but we could come to a point to where we can love each other and listen to each other instead of attacking. And so we need to be praying. This, we always need to pray, but this is a time in our country when the church needs to be praying as hard as we can. And so, I don't know, I wish there's more that I could say. I wish there's more that I could do. It hurts my heart to see things that are going on in our country. It hurts my heart that it seems like the value of human life has gone down so low that anytime somebody agrees, people don't think twice about taking somebody else's life. But that's their image bearers, right? They're made in the image of God. God loves them. We're to love them as well. And so I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't believe you can be a Christian and be a racist. I don't think there's any biblical way that you can justify hating somebody else, period. But definitely not because of the difference of the color of our skin, cultural differences, whatever. And so any kind of feelings like that I have, I've got to give that over to the Lord, confess it, and repent of it, and allow Him to heal me of that. And you do too. So I want to see our nation. It seems like it's getting worse. I want to see things reconciled, and I want to see things turn around and get better. And I want the church to lead the way. We don't need to sit back and be quiet and think, well, this doesn't involve me. It involves every one of us. Amen. We need to love people and lead the way, all right? So if you will, we're about to worship. I'm not trying to start things out on a down note. We're going to worship. We're going to sing one of my favorite songs, Victory in Jesus. I believe we have victory in Jesus. Okay, we have a hope that nothing that's going on in this world can take away. Vaccine. Yeah, Mike, so we need to be praying for a vaccine. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he always comes through. Absolutely. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we sing. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We are thankful to be in your house, God. I'm thankful for every person that's here. Lord, most of all, I'm thankful that you're here. We're here not to see each other. Nobody's here to see me or Robert or anybody else. We're here to see you, Lord. I pray, God, that as we continue in this service, Lord, I pray that you will be high and lifted up. God, you are everything, and we just pray that you'll be glorified. And we pray that these issues that are going on in our country with these riots and these just a failure to value life. And it's seen in so many things, whether it be abortion or, killings. Just people are not valuing life anymore. We pray that there would be, that we would wake up and there would be an understanding of the value of human life. And we pray that there would be a willingness across our nation, no matter what divides us, that there'd be a willingness to listen to the other side and to love each other in spite of our differences. And again, I pray that the church would lead the way in that, that we would be in the world but not of the world, that we would be different, and that difference would be seen, and that it would point others to you, Lord. I pray for healing where the devil wants to divide us. I pray for discernment and direction for us as believers to know how to respond in a way that pleases you. Lord, we do pray for this virus, everybody that's been affected by it. Lord, we pray that you would comfort the families of those who have lost loved ones to this. We pray that you would protect those that haven't been exposed to it yet. We pray that you would heal those that are battling against it right now. We pray that you'd give wisdom for the doctors that are treating it, that you would give wisdom to the scientists that are working on vaccines. And we just pray that you would help us in every situation and everything to come to you for direction on how we're to proceed, God. So, Lord, we love you. It's so good to be in your house. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint each and every one of us, God, that there's so many distractions. There's so many things to take our focus away from giving you glory. And I pray, God, that all those distractions would be removed, and that you would arrest our attention and our focus completely on you, and that we honestly would put everybody else out of our minds and just focus on the God of the universe. That's who we're here to glorify. And so, God, I pray that our worship would be pleasing to you. I pray that you would speak to us through your word and help us to leave this place encouraged and strengthened and ready to live a life that points others to you, God. We love you, Lord. Forgive us of our sins and our errors. Make us more like you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. 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 Brother Robert.
Lord, we'll get the victory in Jesus. We're going to do "How Great Is Our God." And let's sing this like we need. Because our God's great. Now, I'm going to turn this thing. Y'all see, we're going to have the words over here. So I'm going to turn and sing towards this, kind of like I've been singing towards the iPad and the iPhone lately. So I'm going to see y'all, but I'm going to see the words and Diane. Okay, so y'all all look at Diane. And the words. Can y'all see it okay over there?
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great.
And I don't know how this world can make it without him, because he is our hope. Without him, we don't have any, folks, because of him. Let's sing it. Victory in Jesus. And let's stand. As a person, do, okay? You clap, do whatever.
I heard an old
Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is you, him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The next song we're going to sing is, Lord, I lift your name on high. That's what we're here to do today, is to lift his name up. We haven't practiced this one either, so we'll do the best we can. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to show the way from the cross, earth to cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life.
sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
And our next hymn will be, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Today is one that the choir and I did. And like Diane says, I'm going to get the cousins to help out today, those that sing on the backup. So then we haven't been able to meet as a choir. But the name of the song is He is Worthy. And it starts out, and I'm going to say the words because sometimes in the song you might not hear them all. And I want to tell y'all, I thank y'all for putting up with me. I look at myself on some of these posts on Facebook, and I say, I don't realize how big a country bumpkin I am. And I say, wow, I want to sit down and not get back up there anymore, you know. But anyhow, I'll get off of that. We're here to praise our Lord, and He is worthy. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know, in all the midst, you know, we've got corporate problems that we all face. And then we've got a lot of individual problems that folks are dealing with here today. And the answer we know is the Lord. And the song says, is He worthy, over and over and over again? But we know that He is worthy, and it's because of Him, and He holds us in His hand, and He takes care of us, and we can trust Him. So I'll hush and sing the song.
Every nation and tongue,
He is made.
us a kingdom and praise to God. Praise the Son. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor?
Bibles with you, and I hope you do. Go ahead and open up with me to Jonah chapter 2. Somebody said a few minutes ago they came back to see if Jonah got out of the well, so we're going to find out today. All right. Jonah chapter 2. Do what? Yeah. See if he had teeth marks on him. Yeah. All right. We began a sermon series on the book of Jonah last week as we walked through chapter 1 together, and we found that Jonah was indeed a man on the run. He was running from God. One of the main themes of the book of Jonah and the entire Bible is that God is in control. Y'all say that with me. God is in control. That's a good word for the times that we're living in today. God, no matter what's happening on Fox News or CNN, no matter what's happening anywhere in the world, God is in control. Always. And in spite of Jonah's running, God was still in control. God had a plan and a purpose for Jonah. And praise God, God has a plan and a purpose for you and I as well. Now, I usually will preach a text from the Bible and then move towards the gospel and present the gospel at the end. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm still going to do that. But this morning, I want to start with the gospel. And that's going to be our diving board to jump into Jonah chapter 2, okay? Y'all do something for me. If you got your Bible, hold it up in there. Let me see it. I love seeing God's people with God's word. Amen. Thank y'all for bringing your Bible. The entire Bible, from cover to cover, is about Jesus Christ. If you take Jesus out of the Bible, it wouldn't make a bit of sense. The Bible tells us in Genesis that God created everything. And it doesn't say that He used the materials that were laying around, right? No, He created everything out of nothing. And part of that creation was mankind. So He made mankind a little bit different from everything else. He made mankind in His image, right? And being that we are in His image, we are created for a purpose. We have a purpose. It's to know Him and to make Him known. Amen? But right at the beginning of Genesis, it doesn't take long. Genesis 1, God created it and said it was good, right? It doesn't take long. Chapter 3, the fall happens. And mankind does what? They sin, right? Adam and Eve sinned. And all of us are sinners, right? We see that when we read the Bible. Everybody that we read about, with the exception of one, sins. Who's that one, church? Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. The Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. He came. He was a descendant of Abraham. He was the root of David, like we just sang in that song. Is He worthy? He absolutely is worthy. Abraham's the father of the nation of Israel. And so in Genesis chapter 12, God makes a promise to Abraham that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through him. Well, how was every nation on the earth going to be blessed through Abraham? From his descendants, many, many generations down, there's a link between Abraham all the way to Jesus, right? And so the Messiah came from Abraham. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Jesus lived a sinless life, right? He healed people. He performed many miracles. He taught the truth. He told people that he came from the Father to the earth to reveal the Father to mankind. That's why he came. He told people he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus called out the religious leaders of his time. He exposed them as false teachers, and he was hated because of that. And they wanted to kill him and take his life because of that, and they did. Jesus was crucified and killed, even though he never broke a law, never committed a sin. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days. And Jesus told them this was going to happen. He told them this is what's coming. He knew it was going to happen, and he still walked that road anyway for you and for me because he loves us. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death when he did. Jesus did for us on the cross what we could not do for ourselves. That's the gospel. That's the message of hope. We can be set free from sin through Jesus Christ, and through him and in him, we can have eternal life. That's the gospel. When we understand that we're sinners, and we can only be set free from sin by believing in faith in Jesus, then the Bible tells us we're saved. Saved from the penalty of our sin, which is what? It's death, right? It's not prison. It's not having a bad time for a while. It's eternal separation from God. That's the penalty for sin. But Jesus took our penalty for us. He took on the cross in our place. So today we're going to continue talking about Jonah, right? But when we talk about Jonah, the point is not for us to be like Jonah. The point is God is in control. God loves us. God wants us to submit to him and have a relationship with him. And God sent Jesus to the earth so that we could have that relationship with him. So that that would be a possibility for us. We have to submit to him and believe in faith. And when we do that, the Bible tells us we're saved. And listen, once you get saved, you're never the same after that. It changes everything. And we live from that day forward after we get saved, wanting to know him more and desiring to help other people know him. So with that in mind, we're going to continue studying in the book of Jonah. And I want us to remember, let's keep in mind, no matter what text we're looking at, there's more going on here than just whatever the individual story is. So there's more going on in Jonah than just the retelling of something that happened to a prophet named Jonah. This is another part of the grand story of redemption between sinful man and a holy, sinless, perfect God. That's what the Bible is. It's one big story of redemption. So this morning, as we read through chapter 2 of Jonah, I want us to see three elements of Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. You say, wait a minute, we just did a whole sermon series on prayer. We're going to talk about prayer again? Well, listen, as Christians, we can't get away from prayer. And in matter of fact, it's impossible to overemphasize prayer. We can't make too big a deal out of it because it's so important. It's so vital in our lives. It is the connection. Prayer is our connection to the Father, right? And that connection is the key that enables us to live a life that's pleasing to God. We got to stay connected to God in prayer. In a sense, chapter 1 is Jonah running away from God. And in a sense, chapter 2 is Jonah running to God in prayer. Jonah is able to see that he is being swallowed up by this large fish This was God's preservation and not God's punishment. God swallowed him up in that fish to preserve him, not to punish him. Now, God was certainly disciplining Jonah throughout this whole thing with the storm that we talked about last week, and the 3 days and nights in the fish. This was God's discipline. But the goal of the discipline was to preserve Jonah's life so that he could do what God willed for him to do. He saved his life so he could carry out the mission that God gave to him, right? And God disciplines us in the same way. The intent behind the discipline is always to draw us nearer to God, not to inflict punishment on us. And that's a huge thing for us to understand. God is not vindictive, right? He's not a puppet master up in the sky looking to inflict harm on human beings, right? He loves us. Everything that happens, he's using those things for our good, even when we can't see it. So again, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we dive into Jonah chapter 2. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. It is alive, it is powerful, it is good and beneficial for us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to obey what we find in Scripture. I pray, God, that it would stick. I pray, Lord, that it would just find a hold in our hearts, and we wouldn't lose it as quickly as we hear it. We wouldn't walk away and forget about it. I pray that the truth of your word would resonate in us and change us and make us more like you, God. So speak to us through your word. It's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen. All right, so Jonah chapter 2 is 10 verses. I'm going to read those verses for us. So if you've got your word, you can follow along with us. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So Jonah did make it out of the fish. All right. Now, the first of the three elements that make up Jonah's prayer is the element of faith. Right, Jonah's prayer was a prayer of faith. Although he hadn't been completely rescued yet, his life was still in danger. He's inside of a fish. Jonah acknowledges that God has brought him up out of the pit and that salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah was able to see that before it happened. That's faith. That's believing in what hasn't happened yet and what we can't see. Jonah was helpless and hopeless on his own, but when he remembered the Lord and when he prayed in faith, he found help and hope in God. Isn't Jonah a fascinating person to study? He kind of reminds me a little bit of Peter. They were both kind of going back and forth between obedience and disobedience, between doubt and faith. And I can relate to that. In chapter 1, Jonah's running, and there's not much faith to be seen in him. Now his situation's actually gotten worse, but now all of a sudden we see faith in Jonah. His faith is evident again. And I feel pretty confident in saying that this is Jonah's first time spending the night inside of a living creature. I don't think he had any frame of reference for what he was going through, right? This was a first. He couldn't compare this to anything. He didn't know that he was perfectly safe inside of this fish. And yet we just read Jonah's prayer where he confidently said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. He couldn't see that temple from down in the ocean inside of a fish, but he said, I will shall again look at your holy temple. That's a prayer of faith. Jonah couldn't see a way out of his situation, but he trusted in God to do what seemed to be impossible. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I know what some of you are going through. But I don't know what everybody in this room is going through right now. Some of you are facing situations you have never faced before. You have no frame of reference to compare what you're going through right now. And for some of you, you may not be able to see how the situation is going to get better. It may seem impossible. And I can't tell you how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is good and God is faithful and God is going to be with you in whatever circumstance you're facing. He will never leave us or forsake us. Right? Put your trust in Him. He'll see you through. You won't have to walk the road that you're walking alone. Go to God often in prayer and make sure to pray a prayer of faith. Now, there was a little boy who had heard a sermon about praying in faith. And so he was praying by himself up in his room one night. And as his dad walked by the room, he stopped and he listened and he heard the little boy saying, Tokyo, 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 over and over. And his dad kind of shook his head and walked on. I wonder what that was about. So the next morning at breakfast, the dad decided to ask his son, hey, what was that Tokyo stuff about? The boy said, well, I gave the wrong answer on the test for the capital of Mexico. And so I was praying that Tokyo would become the capital of Mexico. Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo. Right? That qualifies as a prayer of faith, right? Sometimes in my own life, I realize that I talk a lot about having faith, but then I continue to struggle with worry, which is actually the opposite of faith. Faith is trusting that God's got everything in control, like we just said. Worry is saying God doesn't have everything under control, and actually God needs my help to fix it. That's what worrying is. A common example to illustrate faith and belief would be a chair. I may say that I believe that that chair can hold my weight, right? But at this point, I'm not really believing it because I haven't tested it out. I can say I trust that chair all day, but until I walk over here, and y'all pray this goes well, I weigh a lot more than Robert does. Okay. Now I've put my faith to action. I really believed it because I sat down and I trusted it to hold me, right? See, our faith always leads us to action, a response. Faith is an active trust in God, a belief that what God says is true, that then results in an action on our part. My prayers need a lot more faith and a lot less worry. Maybe yours do as well. Excuse me. Let's make a decision today to trust God like Jonah did here when he couldn't see a way out. When things seemed impossible, when we can't see how our problems are ever going to get resolved, we know that God is good. We know that we can trust Him. So let's pray with faith. Amen, church? Amen. The second element of Jonah's prayer is repentance. Jonah's prayer was a prayer of repentance. Now, the first several times I read through Jonah chapter 2, I'll be honest, I couldn't really see evidence of repentance in the prayer. It took me a little while. See, because the typical language of repentance is, I have sinned, I'm sorry, I've done wrong against you, and you alone have I sinned, right? Read through the Psalms of David, you see that kind of language, right? Especially Psalm 51. You want to hear repentance? Go read Psalm 51. But I didn't see that in chapter 2. I didn't see that phrasing anyway. So how is this a prayer of repentance? Well, let me read verses 7 and 8 again. Jonah says, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love." So first, Jonah admits that he had forgotten God. Right? We talk about it all the time about how our focus is to be on God, but a lot of times the things of the world take our focus away from God, right? That's exactly what had happened to Jonah. It's just like he had forgotten, right? His focus shifted away from God. And he says, "I have forgotten God." And see what happened when his focus shifted? That led him to reject the command of God and to run from the presence of God. With that in mind, Jonah mentions people that pay attention to idols. He brings up idolatry, and again, that seemed pretty random to me. At least it did at first. I was thinking, why is he talking about idolatry? He is literally sitting in the belly of a fish because of his disobedience, and now he's talking about idolatry. What's going on here? It kind of seemed to me like, you know, the trick that kids try to play and adults who act like kids try to play sometimes. When we bring up the fault of somebody else to try to take the attention off of ourselves, right? It's that old, you know, point out the splinter in somebody else's eye and ignore the log in my own eye kind of thing. That's what I thought Jonah was doing here. Why is he talking about idolatry? But Jonah's not talking about somebody else's idolatry. Jonah's talking about his own idolatry. Idolatry is anything that takes the place of God in our lives. For Jonah, it was patriotism. It was his country. It was his hatred for the enemies of his country. That had taken the place of God in his life. He wasn't willing to obey God because his highest allegiance was to his country and to his people, the nation of Israel. See, the Ninevites had mistreated the nation of Israel. And Jonah didn't want them to have the opportunity to repent. Even though the Lord had sent him to call out the evil of the Ninevites, he didn't want them to repent. But notice what Jonah says about those who pay regard to vain idols. He says they forsake their hope of steadfast love. Jonah realized the foolishness of his actions, and he realized he would never receive anywhere else what he could only get from God. He realized his disobedience was interrupting his fellowship with God. And every one of us make bad choices from time to time, and all of us have to deal with the consequences of those bad choices, right? And the worst consequence that a Christian is going to face is interrupted fellowship with God. That's what we were created for. That's what we long for, even when we don't realize it. Even when we're running and trying everything the world has, what we're really seeking after is what we were created for, and that is fellowship with God. God never leaves us or forsakes us, but we try to leave him when we willingly commit sin. But God is so good and so loving and so merciful that he allows us to come back to him when we confess and repent. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no certain amount of time that we have to spend that has to pass before God will draw us back to him, right? We simply own up to what we've done, and he forgives us and embraces us again. And this is an ongoing process in the life of a believer. And as we'll see as we continue reading through Jonah chapter 2, Jonah's spiritual struggles were far from over. It looks like he's made a turning point here and that he understands the error of his ways and he's going to obey the Lord from now on. But it's not going to take much longer as we continue reading in the next couple of weeks to see that his spiritual struggles were going to be ongoing. they were going to continue. One of the most common things that we do as believers when we sin is we put ourselves in sort of a spiritual doghouse, right? If we've sinned, we've fallen short and messed up, we try to punish ourselves so that we'll be good enough to return to God's presence. So we might stay away from church for a while, right? Because we don't think we deserve to be in church because we've fallen short, right? We got to make up for what we've done. That's the mindset. But the thing is, we've never been good enough, and we never will be good enough. It's not about being good enough. God doesn't require that. He just requires us to believe in Him, to confess and repent and turn from our sin when we fall into it. Don't distance yourself from God when you fall short. We need Him all the time, but when we fall, we need to run to Him and not run away from Him. We're all going to fall short from time to time. Don't distance yourself from God. When you hear that little voice saying, no, you don't need to go to church today, that is not God. Run to Him. Trust Him to forgive you. Trust Him to strengthen you spiritually to overcome the temptation to sin. Remember, the Bible tells us that with every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. So run to God in repentance. Don't distance yourself from Him. Let's make sure repentance is a normal and frequent element to our prayers, okay? All right, the final element of Jonah's prayer is thanksgiving. Jonah's prayer was a prayer of thanksgiving. Again, Jonah's still in the belly of the fish when he says, "With the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you." His praise for God was not restricted to when things were going his way. How many of us restrict our praise to when things are going good? When things are going good, it's amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And when things are going bad, it's why God? And we leave out the thanksgiving. Now, I'm not saying don't say why God. You can say why God. He's big enough to handle any question that we have. But don't lay down the thanksgiving. Don't lay down the gratitude for all that He's done for you. We need to be praising Him in the middle of the storm. We have to realize God is good and worthy of praise no matter how evil the world is and no matter how strong the storm is that we're facing. Terrible things happen every day, but not a single one of them changes the fact that God is good and loving and in control. And someday, I don't know when it's going to be, but someday all the evil and all the wickedness will be forever defeated. And those who trust in the Lord, Jesus as Lord and Savior, are going to live with Him in the fullness of His presence, free from sin, free from death, free from pain. That is the eternal reality that our hope is based on. Our hope is not based on getting out of whatever situation we're in. Our hope is based on eternity. In the presence of God, free from sickness and pain and sadness and evil and wickedness. That's what our hope is based on. No matter how bad things are now, soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Amen? That's not just a song, that's true. That's a reality for the Christian. Jonah understood that thanksgiving is a crucial aspect of prayer. That is so important for you and I to understand as well. Now, I'm not saying that we pray and we thank God for whatever situation we're facing, you know. Instead, we thank God that we're never alone in the situation that we're facing, right? So, you get a bad diagnosis, you don't have to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that. You say, thank you, Lord, that you're with me as I walk this road. I'm not alone. You are with me. So we thank Him that we're loved by Him. We're held in His hand. And we thank Him, and this is huge. Any suffering that we're going to experience is limited to this life. And the Bible says this life is like a mist compared to eternity. It's like a vapor. So whatever suffering we're going to face, and we will face suffering because our Lord and Savior faced suffering, and if he could experience suffering, so can we. But that suffering is limited to this life. There will be no suffering and no pain, no loss in heaven. That's what our hope is based on. Nothing and no one can take us away. Nobody can take away the hope that we have as a child of God. So when we pray, let's pray like Jonah did in chapter 2. Let's pray a prayer of faith, trusting that God is going to take care of us even when all hope seems lost. Let's pray a prayer of repentance and not allow any sin to remain in our lives, interrupting our fellowship with God. And let's pray a prayer of thanksgiving because our God is worthy of praise no matter what's going on in our lives. Amen? All right, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. We pray now as we've come to the end of the sermon time that you would move in the hearts and lives of your people, and that you would continue to be glorified, that you would lead us. Help us to leave this place closer to you and ready to live lives that honor you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So this incident in Jonah's life, it's a foreshadowing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? Jonah didn't lose his life, but he did find himself entombed in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And so Jesus made this connection that this is a foreshadowing when Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 40, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He's talking about himself. He's connecting what he's about to go through with what Jonah went through. It was a foreshadowing of a greater event to come. So remember, anytime we look at any passage of Scripture, we want to make sure and connect the dots from where we're at to Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. The entire Bible is a story of redemption. Sinful man being redeemed to a holy God. And this is only possible. This was accomplished by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. No amount of good works on our part would take away the penalty of our sin. It took Jesus' blood, perfect, sinless blood shed for us. Nothing but the blood of Jesus would do. Nothing but our Savior's blood could take away our sins. Everyone that has ever lived desperately needed what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There hadn't been one person that didn't need what Jesus did. That's whether they realize it or not. Some people live and die and never realize how much they needed the blood of Jesus until they stand before him. My prayer this morning is that if there's anybody here that has never bent their knee and submitted their heart and their will to God, that today would be the day of salvation for you. He died in our place. And because he did that, we can have everlasting life in him. So if you want to experience the transformation that only Jesus can bring about in your life, I want to ask you to pray with me. So if you would, everybody just bow your heads. If you're praying this prayer, you don't have to say the exact words that I pray. It's just talking to God. It's just pouring out your heart to God. There's no magic formula. There's no perfect words that you have to say. Just pray from your heart and ask Jesus to save you. So you can pray something like this: "Lord, I know that I am lost without you and that I'm guilty in sin, but I believe what the Bible says, that Jesus died for me, took my place, paid my debt, and that in him I can be saved, not just for this life, but for eternity. God, thank you for loving me. Forgive me of my sins. God, hold me in your hand. Draw me close to you. I love you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus I pray." Amen. If you just prayed that prayer or anything like that, that means you just got saved. You just moved over from lost and destined for hell. You just moved into, you were adopted into the family of God, and now you are a child of God. So if you did that, I want to ask you, let me know about that so I can celebrate that with you, so I can help you walk down this road, because life's going to be different. Like I said before, nothing's ever the same after we surrender our lives to Christ. Brother Robert's going to lead us as we sing. This is a time of response. So anything that the Spirit may be leading you to do, you can do that at this time. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If you got any other kind of need, if you need to ask a question, make any kind of decision for the Lord, you can do that at this time. All right. Brother Robert. So much for being here. What a joy and a privilege it is for me and my family to pastor this church. I love y'all. So thankful for y'all. And we'll be making decisions in the coming days and weeks about how to proceed. You know, we want to keep everybody safe, but we want to get back to doing all the things that the church does as quickly as possible. And so I don't know how I'll do it. Maybe one of those phone calls. Did everybody get the phone call? The little message over the... Did anybody start talking before you realized it was a voicemail? Hey, Brother Grant. Anybody do that? Okay. So we'll either do that, maybe mail out a letter, Facebook. We'll communicate and let y'all know what we're going to do. As soon as we make the decision, we'll get it out there, okay? All right. Love y'all. Melissa, go ahead.